Thank you for joining me today. And when we left off last time, we were comparing the words of Jesus Christ to the first disciples in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 to 53, with what happened in Jesus' life and in the lives of the disciples in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 12, and chapter 2, verses 38 and 46. And we saw 10 parallels between these two texts. Now, if you were not here last time, you'll want to get caught up by going to the WEZE website and getting the free podcast. Just go to 590amtheword.com and click podcast at the top of the homepage, and then click on God Is. I'll lead you through the parallel texts written by Luke. We looked at these for context because within these 10 parallel statements are the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And what Jesus said to the disciples as they gathered around him, in what is recorded in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The promise that God the Father has given is revealed by Jesus to his followers, and it's this: they will be clothed with power from on high, and they will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon them. Power. And the power of God is our current focus here on God Is. Specifically now, the Holy Spirit is power. And we noted at the very end yesterday this word clothed. In the Greek, the original language of the New Testament, this word clothed means to clothe or to be clothed with, in the sense of sinking into a garment. Sinking into a garment. And I told you about my old winter coat. Today I want you to see something else about the Holy Spirit, and that is, he clothes the waiting disciples. And Jesus says they will be given power from on high. So the power that will clothe them comes from on high. And that is clearly a reference to God the Father. God gives them this power through the Holy Spirit. To have this power, they must have the Holy Spirit. So there you have three brief insights into Luke 24, verse 49, and Acts 1, verse 8. They will be clothed with the Holy Spirit. They will sink into him like a garment, and the Spirit will come to them from God on high, and the Spirit will give them power. And all of this is still in the form of a promise, right? At the end of the time of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Spirit still has not come. And why hasn't the Holy Spirit come? It is because Jesus is still with them, physically present. If you know your Bible, then you know the Holy Spirit does not come from heaven until Acts chapter 2. And we're going to get to that. Believe me, we're going there. But let me take a few minutes today to tell you what route we're going to take to get to Acts chapter 2. Think of this as a little outline. It's the promise route, or we can call it the path of promise. I want you to come along with me back to the book of John, John's Gospel, to read of another promise Jesus gave his disciples concerning the still coming Holy Spirit. I'll talk about this text today. And after teaching it in some detail, we'll then continue along our route to Acts chapter 2 and the actual coming of the Holy Spirit in power. And then our route or path takes us to the presence of the Holy Spirit in the disciples. That is, let's see how the power of the Holy Spirit, clothing the Christ followers, empowered them to do what Christ commanded them to do. So we go from the path of the promised Holy Spirit down to the path of the presence of the Holy Spirit, now active in the life of these first believers. And all of this will quite clearly reveal to us the pure power of God. Okay? If you're ready, here we go. And of course, I will remind you of this along the way, like a good tour guide. We continue now on the path of the promised Holy Spirit. And so turn in your Bibles or just hear the word of God in John chapter 14, verses 25 through 26. This is now John chapter 14, verses 25 through 26. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now notice this is an earlier promise from Jesus to the disciples, but it sounds a lot like what we have read earlier this week in Luke 24 and in Acts 1, doesn't it? Jesus begins, "These things." What things? Well, concisely put, the things that he has said to them in the preceding verses. "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you." Indeed, Jesus has abided with them. He's been present to them in person, in the flesh, living with them day and night. And then verse 26 begins with, "but." Now that indicates some changes on the horizon. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." Okay, so now we learn the Holy Spirit is a helper. And again, we have an early echo of Luke 24 and Acts 1, "whom the Father will send in my name." There is God the Father again. Remember, the disciples were to wait in Jerusalem for my Father to act. In Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus says, "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you." Back to John chapter 14, verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." Let me spend a moment on the two-word phrase, "my name." That is Jesus' name, and it means on my behalf. On my behalf. So the Holy Spirit will come on behalf of Jesus. That's exactly what he does, as we shall see later on. And carrying on in John chapter 14, verse 26, "but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Now, this last part of Jesus' promise for what the Holy Spirit will provide to the disciples is the key. He, that is the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Aha! So the Spirit is going to be their teacher. That's one. And the Spirit will bring to the memory of the disciples all Jesus has said to them. That's two. Now, you must understand this is quite the promise. Oh, yes, it is. And the reason I am highlighting this is because here Jesus tells us about the power of the Holy Spirit. But you might say, wait a minute. I didn't hear you read about Jesus referencing the Spirit's power. You didn't read the word power. John 14, verses 25 to 26 doesn't use the word power. I know, you're right. But power is there all the same. Here's how. One element of the Spirit's power is his task to teach and to remind the disciples the truth about Jesus so that these men will be divinely inspired to write the Bible. To teach and to remind. Do you see that? Do you hear that in Jesus' words? He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. In John chapter 14 and verse 17, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. And what is the truth? It's this, our Bible. The Holy Spirit will come in power and give these disciples the knowledge of God such that they write Scripture as inspired by God himself. And let me give you just one example of one of the disciples who does this. It's Peter. He wrote 1 and 2 Peter, included near the end of the New Testament. And listen to what he writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. "But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." Wow! The Scripture, our Bibles, is written by men like Peter who were moved by the Holy Spirit and spoke from God. Peter was one of Jesus' disciples listening to the Lord in John 14. He heard Jesus say that the Holy Spirit will be his teacher, and the Spirit will bring to Peter's memory all that Jesus has said to him. And then, some years later, when Peter wrote 1 and 2 Peter, this is exactly what happened. Peter did not write out of his own interpretation. Peter wrote the truth given to him by the Holy Spirit, who reminded Peter of what Jesus had said. This is a supernatural process. As the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God. And why have I taken us back to this promise route, or what we can call the path of promise? I've wanted you to come along with me back to the book of John because I want you to know that the power of God is present in the Holy Spirit such that the Spirit guides the writers of the New Testament to write the truth about Jesus Christ. This is Christ's promise. Now, that's power, my friends. The Holy Spirit's power is what gives us the great gift of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the authors of the New Testament text. And the Spirit does this by bringing to the memory of the disciples all Jesus has said to them. And both of those are accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is power, and He uses His power to write the Scriptures and to give us this Bible. That is powerful. So as we come to a close today, let me just remind you of our little outline, described as a path. And we want to get to Acts chapter 2 and the actual coming of the Holy Spirit. To get there, we're on the path of promise, which has taken us via John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. And Jesus has taught us something of great value about the Holy Spirit's ministry. That's what we've learned today. So from here, we go to Acts chapter 2, and then from there, switching to the path of His presence, we read about what happens to the followers of Christ when the Holy Spirit lives in them. The Spirit's presence is in them, and they are therefore infused with the pure power of God. That's the path we're on through the Bible, and I hope you will join me again tomorrow as we continue to learn that God is power.